Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. Those manifestations were tremendous. One of the manifestations, God had said that we must choose the way we will walk. And another one was that God's word will hold us and guide us. And that's revolves around a lot of what I was going to share. My teaching is called Follow Through in Prayer. And it's actually an amalgamation. It was two things that I'd come up to Nick in various times, once about 3 or 4 months ago, something with my sister, answered prayers, and then recently in dealing with some of the teachings that have been done, and just some thoughts on follow-through on some of what's been shared. So I would just like to start off with prayer. And Lord God, I thank you for your awesome word, and it really is your word, God, no matter who shares it. And I thank you for how you are crafting and working with each person here to guide their lives, if we will, and that we just respond and listen. In your son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Peter, by revelation. Actually, 40, I guess we'll go to 40. Verse 40. I love you guys. You too, Candy.
Amazing thing with Candy, Jonathan. I got her muted. Enjoy.
Okay, with many other words, verse 40, did he, Peter, testify and exhort, save yourself from this untoward generations. And we learned in a class that another way to say that is this bunch of crooks. Then they that gladly received his word, Peter's word, which was actually God's word, were baptized, and the same day were added about 3,000. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers, and fear and reverence came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things common, and on and on and on. It was an incredible time. And The first part of the teaching revolves around, when we hear these teachings, I can name teachings that almost everyone in here has done that has been just powerful teachings. At the end of them, I wonder sometimes, all right, here's what happened. About 6 months ago, a teaching was done, and I had my grandkids here, and as you know, they're very wonderful little people. And the teaching was just riveting me. But I had my grandkids here, and especially little David. Sometimes he moves around, and I have to sort of help him stay calm and everything. And I remember a couple of days later, I was thinking about the teaching. And the only problem was, I couldn't remember a blessed thing about the teaching. So that Thursday, I asked a couple of people what the teaching was about. And Brent had a little bit of a clue. Normally, Brent's notes are tremendous. They really are. From time to time, I've actually copied Brent's notes because they're so good. But the only one that really could describe anything was Sandy Ray. And she pretty much went through it. And I began to think, if we can't remember what was shared, how are we going to apply it? And I mean, especially for me, okay? Because some of these sharings lately have just been out of the ballpark. I mean, they've been grand slams out of the ballpark. They've just been amazing. And I find myself a lot of times just sitting there after the teaching and just, I'm either talking to God or thinking to myself, how am I going to apply this, and how am I going to get this into my life, especially since that time, because it began to make me realize that I was not really ingesting these things as fully, you know, as they were being presented. What I started doing was applying some of these things. Now, Nick did a teaching about 2 months ago on think. He actually called it think, believe, confess. But in looking at it from Romans 10:9, think, confess, believe. And I got a page of what he taught. And the other day, I came across it. And I mean, just the power of what is in what was shared was so awesome that I actually went back and I re-paraphrased it. And I was just going to do it for a couple of people, Alan and Leslie and my wife and the, you know, and my granddaughter was here, and she was, she actually remembered a lot of the teaching. And she was talking about homo legeo. She's 9, you know. And so a few weeks after that, Nick had also done a teaching on, and part of what he went over was Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I gave you one, didn't I? And you can give one to Linda and pass one over. And Nick had said that we should personalize it. And Kayla, this has been up on the backboard for a while. She actually wrote, paraphrased the verse out and left blanks for us to put our names in. You can just sort of pass that around. That's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But she left out the me, and you're going to put your name in there. See, that's the idea. And we were going to make copies of it up, but it just didn't all work out completely. But the idea is that, you know, we put our names. Let me just read it, Steve. I'll pass it out to everyone else. It's Luke 4, 18 and 19, if you want to turn there. But you don't have to. The Spirit of the Lord is in me. And then there's a blank for your name. Jimmy or Alan or Ginny or Candy. Because he has anointed me, again, a spot for my name, Jonathan or whoever, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, Jimmy, to heal the broken hearts, to preach the deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which he spelled wrong, but we won't say anything about that, will we? Today this scripture is fulfilled by my acts. And, you know, the idea is that we want to put ourselves, we want to think about us doing these things. Or how can I apply what was taught? This past Sunday, Nick did a sharing on healing the brokenhearted. And he had exhorted us to somebody might come to our mind that we know that's brokenhearted. Well, actually, three people came to my mind. But that doesn't matter. The point is then he gave us some keys or things we might do to help us to reach, to unbreak that heart, to pour the word in, to pour God's love in, to pour God's answer in to that person's life. And the first thing was to recognize with whom we are dealing. And then the second is to just pour our love and compassion into them. One of the people I thought of, my next door neighbor, who's he's quite an interesting guy, but he's got two sons that are adopted. They were his sister's children, but she couldn't or didn't or whatever want to deal with them, and so she gave them up, and he and his wife adopted them. And this guy is an interesting guy, but he's got a mouth that doesn't exactly edify children. Let's just put it that way, you know? And I've seen this boy. He's lived around us for 20-some-odd years, and just recently he's come back to live. He's had problems, all kinds of problems, but, you know, you got to think from dealing from the spiritual warfare class, all right, already his mother didn't want him, so then he took him. Now, he and his wife, this guy is not very edifying. He's funny. He laughs. He's a very active man. He does a lot of things, but I have never heard him say one good thing about either of those boys, you know? And it's always with a smile, but it doesn't matter. The boy went to New Jersey. He's hooked up with a girl. They've got a kid. He loves this girl. They're not married yet. He has no money. He's come back into the area. He's living with his dad. He got some money from a tax return. He went to his mother, his biological mother, and her husband to get a car. They sold him a piece of junk for $4,300. And within weeks, it broke down. And this kid, oh, my God, I see him. And the weekend before the teaching, my mind was just roving around this kid and to try wanting to help him. And then to hear that teaching, it was like, it was just rolled out in front of me what to do. And one of the things he said, recognize who and what you're dealing with. Two, pour the love and compassion on. Then three, pray to God for guidance and also for the person. See? And Alan knows, because he and I are prayer partners, that I have been praying for him these last few days. And then four is to do something, because we've got to do something. See, you know, I love you. Every one of you in here, I love. I absolutely love you. But really, how much, outside of the Word, how much do we have in common? Why do we come here? See, the biggest reason is for the Word of God and then to give that forth. And, I mean, when we hear these teachings, I just sometimes wonder, because, you know, when we get done sometimes, and I've tried sometimes to talk, and I don't know, the conversation always seems to steer off into not the teaching. And I mean, you know, I realize if you love somebody, there's more than just what you hear. And, I don't want to be pointing fingers or anything like that. This teaching may never go out to anybody. I don't know. But I'm just, I don't know. I want to, you know, you want to see something come of this. God wants to see something come of this. That's why we're getting teachings that are, I'm telling you, and it's not just from one person. You know, but I mean, these are major league, absolute divine platter sharings that we've been hearing. And you know, to do something with them would be good. And then the fifth thing is to, that Nick shared from the teaching on Sunday, was to, hold forth the truth in love. In other words, yeah, you got to compassion, and I understand that. But I also know that this kid's 28 years old, and he really hasn't gotten very far. So I'm going to have him start working with me a little bit, and I want to ultimately get him to come here because, my God, he, his wife, his baby, Tom, my neighbor, they need God. They need everything that we share, everything that we have, everything that we know. This is the world. This is exactly why we're here. And I you know, one of the other things that I was thinking of is, and that's really helped me a lot, is listening to these teachings on a CD, because I used to collect them all, and I hardly ever listened to any of them. You know, and one day I was going out to Harrisburg or somewhere. I was on a trip, and I popped one. Well, and I think it was me and Linda were coming here, and I popped one in. This was about a year or two ago, and it was one that I hadn't heard. And I was just blown away. And, you know, Nick did a teaching a couple of years ago on a husband's, sort of like the husband's responsibility. It was before he did the God's Blueprint for Marriage. And I've got to tell you, I literally practically had to get scraped off the floor after that teaching. It was so powerful to me. I still think it was more powerful than the God's Blueprint, because it was condensed into one thing just for the men, see? And I, two or three times a year, I will pull that thing out and listen to it so that it begins to, again, realign my heart towards my wife the way it really should be. And, I think we had a pretty good marriage anyway. God had been working with me for years on things to bless my wife and to help her. But I'm telling you, that teaching, to this day, I just listened to it about a month and a half ago. And I listened to the Think, Believe, Confess ones on the way out to Harrisburg to pick up my granddaughter. And I'm telling you, there's stuff in there that's going to change your lives. We've got fear still holding us back. I don't care. I had to do some work at a school by myself. It's kind of stuff that I haven't done by myself in 20 years. And I was scared, okay, then. I used to climb up that ladder. I'd have it on rocks on one side to keep the ladder balanced. At top of a 30-foot ladder, reaching up, trying to get these crescents. And the whole time just saying, God, thank you for holding me. I know you're going to hold me. God, thank you for holding me. God, I know you're going to, you know. And I had to do things similar to that. I don't need rocks anymore. I've got all the equipment you could ever possibly imagine to keep things safe. But I remember there was one point, there were some windows. I had to lean back like this on a 40-foot ladder with a pole, with a squeegee at the end of the pole, and cross over like this. And, you know, I was less nervous because of stuff that I've been applying about God has not given me the spirit of fear. My sister said that to me one day last fall, and it just all came flooding back, stuff from when I had the deliverance with Nick and Jimmy. And, you know, and I'm telling you, since then, I don't know, it was like it was creeping back in or something, and I have just been so much freer in terms of doing stuff at work that before I was nervous about. And all this, and this is from, all right, now, you know, my sister called me up with the, you know, and mentioned that verse, and she was just praying, but God put it on her heart to say that. But still, there was things that we have learned here, that I have applied here, that have helped me to really overcome things that, I'm telling you, man, I used to be scared, okay? And I had to do work that I was scared to do, because it was the only way I could make the kind of money, any kind of money, really good money. So, I've actually gone through a lot of my teaching faster than I thought. So that's the first half. Okay, that's the follow through. See, when we're done, sometimes, you know, I'll just sit there, and I'm not holding myself up as any kind of a parody of anything, okay? But I will sit there sometimes and just to myself or to God and just, how can I get this into my life? And I mean, still sometimes by Tuesday or Thursday, I've forgotten. Thank God, you know, we've got the CDs and to listen to them. And like when I drive, I know Melissa, a lot of times she listens to the word and stuff in the morning when she drives to work. And I do that too. But sometimes I'll listen to these teachings, because they're, especially the stuff on faith. I mean, there's been some stuff that's, I think for any given one of us, that would really zero in on our hearts and our needs. But the second part of my teaching, which was actually the first thing, I touched the phone, sorry, Nick, which was actually the first thing I'd mentioned to Nick, was back in over the spring. See, about almost 2 years ago, me and Howard Frank and JT started this men's prayer group. And from the very first, it's interesting, one of the things JT mentioned, by the way, was that a lot of times he couldn't remember the teachings by the time, you know, the next week rolled around. And so he was thinking that when we got together, which was only going to be once a month, and by the way, I exhort you guys, you know, we've had an amazing, amazing amount of answered prayers. You guys, I'm not kidding you. I mean, and to come would be, well, you were at the first one too, weren't you, Steve? In December? November? Whatever. Yeah, I think you were. Yeah, sorry. All right, so anyway, recently, my sister, God bless my sister, she took the class in 1979, right after my mom died. I went to New York. I picked her and my dad up. We got rid of everything they had there, and I just brought them back to St. Louis, because they were just like sheep. I mean, they were completely lost. And my mom was the hub of our family, and especially for my sister. And she took the class. You know, she was a clean girl. She was a virgin when she took the class at 29. I mean, and she really took off with a lot of the things. She went out wild, and she went out wild again. She was light bearer. I mean, she did all kinds of stuff. But as the years went by, you know, the ministry began to collapse, and a lot of us were lost for a while. And she had some problems that she never dealt with. She had never had a job either when she took the class. 29 years old. She wasn't on welfare or anything, but she'd never had a job. Fifth grade, she had a college grade reading level. In the fifth grade, never finished high school. I mean, just like a lot of stuff in our family, just completely crazy stuff. In the mid-80s, I left St. Louis and ended up out here. And so we were kind of separated at that point. And we grew a little bit apart. She was still going to fellowships out there. John Hendricks group. I don't know if you guys know. You know him, yeah. And, we grew a little apart. And then in the 2000s, we began to reconnect. But my sister had, again, she had not really taken care of a lot of things in her life that she should have. She was constantly in debt. She was renting two storage units. She was a hoarder, trying to keep all this stuff from my mom, you know, from the family. And, oh, Lord. She was getting sick a lot. She drank diet sodas. She drank like a pack of Diet Coke, or they used to call it, they had some other stuff back then that was like, and she, every day she was sick, she had car problems, she didn't even have a car for a while, then she got a car, I bought her a car, but I was looking at her life, and this is leading up to something, okay, and I was thinking, she's going to end up broken down, and we're going to have to take care of her like we are Linda's mom for the rest of her life. And this thought began to eat at me. Not that I dislike my sister, but I mean, and so, but you know what? I began to think, but wait a minute. That's the wrong, we just heard this. I mean, we heard this in Nick's sharing. I don't know if I've got the, I don't think, yeah. If we live on the negative side of confession, this is from Nick's teaching, Think, Believe, Confess. constantly confess our faults or her faults or anybody's faults and failures, and that's all we ever confess. You notice I put I in there. So when you read this, you should say I, because if I live on the negative side, confess my faults or my sister's faults or your faults and failures, and that's all I ever confess, I will grow lopsided in my Christian life. So I decided what I was going to start doing was praying for her. And every time I talked to her, at the end of the prayer, you could ask her. I mean, this went on for, it still happens. Every single time we're done talking, I pray for her car, I pray for her health, I pray for her finances. And in our men's prayer group recently, because she was living in some believer's basement, paying $300 a month to live there, mice and bug infested. These are core grads, and they were barely making it. So, I mean, it was just a whole messy situation. And she wanted to move out. And I'm thinking, she had four jobs, too, by this point, okay? From none, she had four jobs. And she was still barely making enough money. But we started praying. I don't know if you remember it, Steve, but one of the things I would pray for would be my sister and her finances. And then around February, she was talking about getting a new place. I started praying for a new place for her. Okay, so now here's the end of this. A couple of months later, in the end of April, some believers out there, okay, they gave her a brand new condo. It was 3 years old. They gave it to her to live in. I mean, she doesn't have the title or anything like that, but she's living there. She's not paying for the utilities. She's not paying for the taxes. She's not paying for the place at all. They gave it to her because, again, now, you know, I've mentioned a lot of the bad things about my sister. Marilyn, I know you're going to hear this, but forgive me. But she is the most giving person you've ever met. She will pour herself. I mean, she will pour herself into you. She will pour herself into you. That you've never seen anything like it. Attention to detail. Dr. Werewolf said that love was attention to detail. Pure love. I mean, and she was, what it was they had a daughter. She got sick. She fell asleep. But the whole time my sister was there with her, the mother got sick. She fell asleep the whole time Marilyn was there with her. Wasn't getting any money for this, you know, nothing like that. And she pours herself into people. And, you know, you could tell me 10 years ago, look, she's waste. She's not, you know, she's sponging off people. She's this, she's that. But you know what? She's my sister. See? And I'm going to tell you, when I was a little kid, okay, and the kids would come up and beat the crap out of me because I was thin and underwear. I don't know why. I remember once these three Italian kids got me in this yard, and they're beating the hell out of me. And my sister jumps over the fence, and they're all bigger than her. And she beat them so bad, I mean, one of them, they had to literally pull him out of there. She beat them, three guys. You know, I remember once this big black kid had jumped on top. Oh, man, no, you just, if she was around, I got some protection, you know? I mean, and she's my sister, and she's my sister in Christ. And see, that's how we have to stand for each other. And for 10 years, I didn't see hardly any change at all. But I continued to pray for her, and I'm telling you, she's organized now. She finally, two of the jobs closed up. She got one of the jobs she had. She's full-time now. The guy said he's never seen anyone like her, and she's been there for 12 or 14 years. She lost that job for a while for her temper. Another problem. But they hired her back, and now they've got her there full-time. See? And, she's saving money up for a car now. I mean, I bought her a car and told her, look, the only thing you have to do is keep the insurance up. No, didn't do it. Got her insurance now. Everything. See, you know, and here it is like 15, 14 years later, and it's finally, she's finally pulled herself. Well, all right, it was God. It was God, no question about it, you know, that pulled these things together for her. The reason that she got the place was because their younger son, this family, the one with the daughter died and then the mother died, they had a younger son who's homosexual. His name was Christopher, but he didn't want to be called Christopher because he doesn't want anything to do with Christ in his name. And he badgered the mother, he was mean to the sister, and the elder brother, who's a believer, said, look, you know what? They tried to get him out of the house when the parents were moving, the mother was going into the hospital, he wouldn't do it. So he finally just cut all ties with him and gave her from the the trust that was set up for the son. He and the father cut the boy out, and they're letting my sister live there. 3-year-old condo, walk-in closets, brand new. You know, I mean, I'm like, she was down there, and now she's up here. And I know that a lot of it's got to do with prayer. A lot of it's, of course, you know, there's good things about her and all that. And another thing with prayer, she just told me this, reminded me of this story. There was this girl, it's about 25 years ago, and she had a little girl that looked a lot like my sister. My sister was amazed at the similarities. And so one day my sister was driving, and she saw this baby. She saw the baby's face on the outside of the windshield of the car. And she was so startled, she practically stopped the car. But then she just kept driving. She thought, well, I should be praying for her. It was like on a Tuesday. Well, the next time she saw a fellowship, the woman said, my God, I had this horrible thing happen. I went to get a towel. I was washing my daughter, and I went to get a towel to dry her off. When I came back, she'd slipped down in the tub and was not breathing. And she said, and I went berserk. I ran outside. I was screaming for people, and there was nobody there. So I finally got my wits back. I came back in. I had the thought to take her, which she'd already taken her out, but she said to push down on her chest, and then she started breathing. And my sister said, well, when was that? And she said, well, it was Tuesday morning. And it was Tuesday morning, you know? And the reason, she just heard from one of the people out there, the ones that she'd been living with in the basement, they'd heard from the woman, and her daughter is now married and has 3 children of her own. See? And, you know, that would have never happened if it wasn't for that moment. See? So I'm telling you, prayer is important, and that was the last thing I wanted to go to. James... Well, first, I guess, 5.13. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him or her, Candy, with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then in James 1, that's the first part of the teaching, or the second part, the prayer. But in James 1, there's the other side of that coin. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When we get done, you know, a lot of times maybe, I'm not saying you have to, and look, if you and I walk up to you and you're talking about Trump or baseball or football, that doesn't mean I'm going to think the word bad of you or anything else. I mean, we have a full life. It's a 360-degree life. I understand that, you know. But, I think it would help us a lot. It's only going to help if we go over this stuff, because we're really being served on, it's not even a silver platter. It's a gold platter on these purple chairs with this wooden boards up here, you know? I mean, we are being served gold. We are really being served gold here. And we've got it. I mean, you know what it was like in other churches. You know better than almost any of us. And I mean, I wouldn't trade this for the world. I don't know about you, but my God. And then in 2 James chapter 2, 17, again he says it. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, you may say you have faith and I have works. Well, you show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, you believe that there's one God, well, you do well. The devils believe also, and they tremble. And, you know, I've been going through the gospel. That's another thing. You know, Nick has exhorted us to read through the Bible. I'm telling you, that is an awesome thing to do. Well, those devils believe, and they tremble. And you know what? When they get to the point, when we get to the point that when we face up to them, they tremble, because he's in us and he's with us, which is another teaching Nick did. Christ in you, remember that? Okay, you in him, okay, in Christ. That's the day that life changes, okay? That is the day that life changes. That's the day you really walk through that door. All right. Verse 20, but will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So thank you, God, for your word, and thank you for all the words that we've heard, and thank you, God, that we can just not let this slip by our lives, so that when those times come and he thinks he's got us, we're going to take that bat, that sword of faith, and cut his head off. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.